This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
From our homes.
Here in Southern California.
Yes. Quarantine style. Hello, Karen, my friend.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good now that I've seen your hair. It's gone from unwieldy wild to now it looks like you're kind of styling and shaping it in its large, almost like you have a really big perm from the late 60s.
This might blow your mind, but I did nothing to shape or style it except wake up. I put some hair mask in it before bed, and that's really been seeping into. I just want it to lay down at some point. I've never grown my hair to where it actually defies gravity and goes down at any point. I don't think it'll ever happen.
I don't think it can, unless it's like 2 feet long. Because it would have, like, how would it do it?
Relaxers.
Should we get you some Queen Helene relaxant?
When I did those.
Does she make color?
The Paul Ryan thing, I got my hair professionally straightened.
Oh, right.
And it lasted for like 2 days. It wasn't quite worth it. But it did. It was still wavy. And I still had to bombard it with pomades.
And you know that's because your hair grows very fast. Have you been told that?
Yeah. And the weird thing is, it grows fast on the side. This is from a shaved sides, long on the top haircut, grown out. This is what grows the fastest, right in this quadrant. Much faster than this side. Weird. So much faster. This is this is where all the growth is. Of course, there isn't as much up here, but I'm not complaining. There's bald people out
everywhere.
There. I have other problems. I'm not bragging.
And some people don't think balding's a problem whatsoever.
Exactly. I don't think it is. Yeah. You can just shave your head and look like Jason Statham, whose movies I've been watching on YouTube. I have watched so many action movies. I didn't realize. And now it's just suggesting more. And I'm down this Expendables wormhole. I don't any comedy.
Don't ever go down an Expendables wormhole.
It's never ending.
It smells like mothballs.
Yeah, yeah. I've been watching way too many action. I'm watching Breaking Bad right now because I never watched it.
Very good show.
Yeah, now I can be part of those conversations from years ago. I still don't know what happens.
He breaks bad. What season are you on?
Very final. Season 5, episode 16, probably the last one. I'm about to see what happens. I don't think it ends well.
No. Many meth stories don't end well, and this one is no different.
Yeah.
But Don't you love the wife, Skylar?
I do. Yeah, she's becoming... The show reached a point where no one was redeemable except the DEA agent guy. And it's like, you're not even supposed to be rooting for him. And when the main characters aren't likable, that whole Pulp Fiction syndrome, I kind of tune out. I gotta like somebody.
Oh, but I love Skylar.
I do now. That's why I'm glad I'm watching the end, because she's...
Oh,
great.
You like had a journey through where you're like, enough of that lady.
It was a journey of liking and unliking and re-liking.
Which isn't that just like life?
It really is. Like, that's that with people too. It's so amazing.
Do you remember the scene where he throws the pizza on the roof?
Yes.
Spoiler alert. You know, he did that in one take. That just happened.
Oh, really?
Like, that's how it turned out when he first tried to do it. He was supposed to throw it somewhere else.
Yeah. That's funny. I remember seeing that and wondering how the hell he did that on purpose.
Yeah. And also, isn't Bob Odenkirk unbelievable in that show?
Yeah, he's the best. I remember a long time ago, I can't remember, it was an audition that I knew I wouldn't get. And there was all these people that I look up to waiting, and he was right before me. I can't remember what it was, but back then, this was before Breaking Bad, and I always, and at the kind of the peak of David Cross's career, and I was always thought, just because he's my favorite from that show you were on, Mr. that show you were on to you. Mr. Show is my father's name.
Mr. Show is my father.
Call me
Please
Show.
Call me Karen.
But I'm like, man, why isn't he not? He's always been such a great actor. And then, you know, I predicted it. He owes me an apology or a thank you. You're welcome, Bob.
Sometimes when I see people that we know from comedy in TV shows, it actually totally ruins it for me, because all I can think about is them getting it and how nervous they are, or they don't seem, or that they're good actors comparatively or bad, or it just takes me out of it entirely. And so I had that moment of like, oh no, but that character is so different than actually Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
It's so strange. And it's like he's doing a comedy character, but not, but so real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it just made me so happy. Do you want to hear some insight? This is a story you'll only hear here on Do You Need a Ride? It's exclusive.
Yes. I do want to hear inside scoop.
It's kind of hilarious. They did a Mr. Show reunion on Zoom, the Zoomtacular.
Oh, recently. Okay.
It was Wednesday. I was invited to it. I said, yes, I would love to do it. I thought it was on Friday. I thought it was today. So I missed it entirely. And like 4 minutes before it was starting, Jill Talley called me to say, and she texted me after she called, but I was on the phone with my friend and I saw that she called, and the first thing that went through my head, which is so embarrassing and stupid, but I'll say it anyway, is I thought she was calling to wish me happy birthday, which was Monday. So I had this, it was like very ego-y. And then like people started texting me going, why aren't you on this? And then I was like, oh God. And so it turned out when Bob asked me, so Bob was the organizer, which is kind of hilarious. And he had my old email address. So when I responded, I said, I'm so excited that you asked me. I can't wait. Please use this email address.
Not it's my current mail.
It's my current one. Yeah, exactly. Please don't use my Earthlink anymore. And he didn't see it. So then I was like, I was like, if I don't hear from him, because I saw that it was on the 15th. So I was like, well, if I don't hear from him by Thursday, I'll just go check my old email address again that I never use.
Yeah.
And then, so that was just a plan in my head. And so when those calls started coming in on Wednesday, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I should have checked that email again, because he changed the date.
But first you were like, well, must be for my birthday. Like the time you thought that woman was giving you a balloon.
Exactly the balloon bouquet, but in a phone call where it was like, no, Jill's trying to call you and give you bad news. And like, it was so embarrassing. But anyway,
you would have had to have learned lines. Was the reunion just a chat or were it?
No. There was like a script. But when I got the email, the original email, it was like, script is coming, blah, blah, blah. But then the update I didn't get was that the date changed and this script came and a bunch of other stuff went, and it was all to the email that I that only is like Zappos 25% off, 1-800-Flowers. Like, it's all basically coupons and bullshit. It's one of those emails that I never look at.
Did it work? Did it work? The Zoom, as well as these things, work?
No, I was on the phone.
Then I was like, oh my God.
Then I was like scared. I was scared. Yeah, it was happening real time.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh my God, they're going to be so mad, or they're going to think I'm an asshole. And then when it was over, Jill texted me back and she goes, oh, Bob knows he messed up. It was really, it was very sad and hilarious.
Oh,
but anyway,
Jill that is from the show.
Yes.
Yeah, she's great.
She's like the main female cast member. Jill Talley. She's the greatest.
That's so cool.
I know, it was, but apparently it went great. I mean, they threw it together. It was for charity. I think they're re-airing it so people can watch it again sometime soon. And, you know, they wrote a bunch of new sketches and new stuff. So apparently it was great.
Yeah, I didn't think I would like watching sketch comedy on Zoom, but I think I like it better than an audience laughing. It turns out I don't like... not only laugh tracks, I don't like live audiences. I'd rather watch people play their part in living rooms. Maybe not with sketch, but when someone's doing a one-person character like they have been doing. I've been enjoying SNL for the first time in years. I like
That's it. What we were saying. Like, that. What's up with that sketch? There's stuff going on where you know the effort that's being put in and how hard it is. Like, we have a hard time just having a regular conversation because the timing is so fucking
and
weird.
And everyone appreciates it audience-wise, too, because they're also using the same. I love that everyone's using Zoom, except there's one guy, Charles Zoom, getting rich. I assume his last name is Zoom, like Tom Cruise. But I did the other day, I did a morning show in Chicago. There's a woman named Lily that likes our podcast and booked me on this show. I had to get up at 8 a.m. and they just wanted to see a tour of my apartment. So it was over Zoom. And they had a background in each of, they were in their living rooms too, but they had a background. So it looked like I was on a panel show. And it was so fun. They were delightful people, but it opened with, I'm like, well, look, here's a clock my dad made. And I got up and went to lean back to take a picture of this clock, and I fell over, ironically, the other redwood friend of its, this table, and landed on this eagle, and it jabbed me in the ass, and I fell back. I hurt my hand skateboarding the other day, but not as bad as I did when I fell over this table and landed, and it was swollen and bruised. I think maybe I broke my hand. And they all laughed. They thought I was doing a pratfall. I'm like,
please tell me you went with it.
I did. I said, I really hurt my hand just then. I do believe. And they're like, ha ha, physical comedy. I'm like, no, really. I didn't have time to. So it was throbbing and I was in so much pain. But I did this 20-minute tour of my home, of my wallpaper, basically. And it was
That's
so fun.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Is it because they've been seeing your videos like on Instagram?
I think
like,
it's because they
what you do?
Listen to the host, one of the hosts, John, and this woman, Lily, that works for the show. They both listen to the podcast.
Wow.
And
all our dreams
celebrity.
Are coming true.
I hate using that word when talking about myself, but I was a celebrity guest in Chicago.
You hate putting yourself above everyone, but here you are.
Hey,
there you go.
It's just, you know, it's something I'm getting used to, but this was broken. It broke off the wing and the head. I had to glue it.
How about we put that up on a high shelf and get it?
Looking.
It's a very pokey, wings out eagle, wooden eagle Chris is holding up right now that looks like it would be on President Trump's desk.
Yes, it is. That's why I love it. It reminds me of that time a real eagle attacked him.
I know.
And there's like a...
that time he ate taco salad on Cinco de Mayo. Oh, God. What version of reality are we in? I love that.
It did cut. I can't show my ass, of course, but there is an abrasion from that bird.
How
it was great.
Big is
and
your abrasion?
And the show
would
must go on, I said to myself.
That's right. Never let him see you abrase.
The classic saying.
Did you have that haircut, hairstyle?
I did. I gave him the whole package.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's called entertainment. That's called being an entertainer.
That's entertainment. One of my favorite songs by The Jam.
Oh, I thought you meant the old-fashioned one. That's entertainment. My favorite song is from a Follies from 1935.
Oh, yeah. You love that old ragtime.
That old thing. Didn't you do a stand-up show the other night, too?
I have been. I've really been. At first, I very much wasn't enjoying it. Because we're so used to, I especially am, if I don't hear people laughing, I think I'm doing terribly even when I'm not.
Yes.
So this has been pretty good for me to just trust that what I'm saying is working and plow through it. And then all of a sudden, it's solo podcast mode. It's like I'm just driving around talking to myself. I can do that.
Yeah.
And later find out that people like it. I don't need to know right now. Why am I so impatient?
No, I know. It's almost like writing a letter or being gossiped about. You hear about it after the fact.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when it matters.
Yeah, or being in a relationship and you don't know until years later that they loved you.
Or hated you.
Yeah, that's fun too.
Yeah.
So let us know if you hate us, but wait a few months.
Let's really put a pause on the hate. Definitely let us know if you love us, though. That'll help us in these trying times.
Put a pause on the hate should be everywhere right now.
Pause on the hate until quarantine's over. Mins.
I agreed to do this just so I would have a story because it's hard to have news for each of us to tell when we're just sitting in our houses. I drove down to Huntington Beach to check out a van that's going to be modified into a dump truck for my very good friend's business in Montana. He brings mulch and wood chips to people's houses. It's an app called Little Dumps. And there's a truck down here that can't be resold in California because of smog testing, or it's diesel or something. So for a very affordable price, they're going to buy it. And I was thinking of driving it to Montana, but then I started thinking about truck stops and gas nozzles, and I feel like it's not safe enough to do that yet. But I went down to Huntington Beach, and no one had a mask.
And no one what?
No one was wearing a mask. It's 50 minutes south, and it's like another world. I saw kids in the backs of trucks, and absolutely, it's not just the protesters there. It seemed like it was everyone, because their numbers are lower, and it was, even the guy that was selling the van had a mask, but it wasn't on his face. And I'm like, wow, you're the only guy I've seen with a mask. He's like, well, I know you're from Los Angeles, so I knew you would have a mask. Like, he was conscious of the difference. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like the news covering those protests when it's like, you know, 100 people or whatever, it's the worst thing they could have done because they're giving permission to people who would normally have just followed the rules.
Yeah.
But then they see people flaunting the rules that way.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, then they're just buying into the easiest rationale of it doesn't really matter.
Right.
And it's like, you can tell yourself anything you want, but it does matter. And when people die, you know, in Huntington Beach and down in Orange County, the numbers went up 650%. The amount of cases went up that much 2 weeks after those protests because people just started going, I'm going to the beach.
I've been meaning to look that up and it totally makes sense. And the people I was seeing, they're normal people that aren't defiantly yelling and saying, this is my right as an American or anything. They just, like you said, they saw that on the news and they're like, well, I'm not going to be a dick about it, but if they aren't wearing a mask, I'm not.
Well, and the news isn't following up with putting the report at the top of the news in the same way that the protest was at the top of the news.
Yeah.
So it's like there's an actual direct correlation and this a direct effect, but they're not reporting on the effect. So everyone's telling themselves it's fine. We can all carry our guns around and everything's fine because we've decided this is reality. And it's like, yeah, it's not. It just isn't.
Was there a gun thing happening in conjunction?
Well, that's the whole thing when they were saying reopen everything and they were bringing in, that was more, it didn't happen in California as much as the crazy one in Michigan and in different, and like, I think Colorado, a bunch of like, you know, state Capitol type of sites where people were just showing up with guns going, reopen the state. And it's just like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I'm proud of my little town, Missoula, Montana, which happens to be a liberal place for Montana. And everyone's still following the rules. They're just, you know, you have to, most businesses are still closed. Everyone's wearing masks. And I think that that's what we should be doing still. I would love to drive up there in a dump truck, but it's too scary for me.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that it's just such a question mark. And that's the thing that just makes no sense. It's like it's such now this world is divided into the people who understand that the question mark is the threat. And then there's the people who are taking the question mark as that means nothing's happening.
Right.
It's just like a horror movie. It's exactly like a horror movie.
And I've been watching those, too. I'm watching a lot of movies exactly about what's happening to check the accuracy of what they thought a pandemic would be 10 years ago.
So did you watch Contagion? Because I just watched it the other night.
I sure did.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
The idea that Rene Russo and Dustin Hoffman are a married couple that are about to get divorced. Ludicrous.
Yeah.
Rene Russo is like one of the most perfect looking women in all of the history of show business.
Yeah. It's unbelievable as who did, in Tootsie, Jessica Lange.
I mean, I love Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah,
and
me too.
He's great. I think he's great and witty and stuff like that. But then you're singing in the, you're like, you couldn't have gotten the Rene Russo equivalent here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a problem there. We can all love Dustin Hoffman, but no one's accusing him of being hot.
You can't, I mean, I don't know. It's if you're going to do that, then you have to build in the love story much clearer. So what is it? Why are they connected? Is it just disease?
Yeah.
Or those two dogs that they own together? Also, what about that poor little monkey that had so many scenes in that movie? And all the, it was like clearly being like shocked and scared and like, there were so many disturbing little monkey scenes.
Have you seen Project X? If you want some disturbing monkey scenes in a great movie, you got to see Project X.
Do you like monkeys spinning in a big
barrel?
What would it be? Yeah, in a big space.
Monkey astronauts. We all know what you're talking about.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you want to see a monkey at space camp? That's what I'm trying to say.
Do you want to see a monkey hooked up to an oxygen tube floating around with joy?
Screaming at the top of his lungs, saying, please don't make me be an actor anymore. I want to pull someone's face and genitals off. Please.
You know, I worked with the tiny monkey from Friends. I can't remember the monkey from Friends, its name, but Ross had a monkey in it.
Marcel,
thank you.
You're welcome.
That monkey is alive and well and difficult to work with. It sounds like I'm just, it was for some
and
video
much like
game.
David Schwimmer, difficult
yes,
to work
exactly.
with.
Exactly. He's really full of himself, taller than you'd expect.
Constant and, screaming.
Yes, yes. And has a pending lawsuit with Jennifer Aniston, this monkey. Just kidding. I don't know. That's made up. Sorry, David Schwimmer. But this monkey, it really did. The monkey did throw its poop at me at one point.
Yeah, it's a fucking monkey.
Yeah.
It doesn't want to be there.
After
Leave
a few days, though, I think the monkey could tell that I liked it and wanted to be its friend, and then it was nice and would like grab my finger and stuff. I'd like, hi, and he just grabbed my finger, and it really made me feel good. That's all I want
yeah, I
from
bet.
A monkey.
You, because you finger. Won that angry monkey over.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to win over the angry monkeys.
Same.
Or
That's
anyone
my whole
that
goal.
Doesn't like me. I will focus on you until you like me, even if you're a primate.
It's like how it happens in stand-up where you scan the audience and you only land on the person that's just sneering at you, but it's a monkey with its arms crossed.
I want to do a show for an entire audience of monkeys just for the visual, not for the way it'd make me feel. God. Yeah, monkeys aren't, you want them to be your friend. I love them on video. I wanted him to sit on my shoulder. But I could tell at any moment he would just snap and no one would be there to answer questions.
No, because also even though they're those, you were saying it's the one of those little, like a cat, not capuchin, but a little monkey,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little cute monkey. with still tiny little
strength
eyes.
Of 10 men.
Oh, totally. Oh, this monkey could turn on me and just pull my arm off.
Just any minute. Also, wait, sorry, going back to the film Contagion, which when I started watching it, there was something in me where I'm like, fuck it, I'm watching this. I'm going to make myself watch it. Like that it was going to scare me or help me adjust to this new normal, blah, 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 whatever. And it was just silly, kind of like Kevin. What about Kevin Spacey with his red buzz cut?
Oh, yeah. Like, I forgot that he was in that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot.
He's hard to watch now.
Right, because he was playing, and this is a common theme for him, I think, but it's like he's playing this smug asshole in this way where it just stands out. It's like eats up the scenery in this way where it's just like, why would you all be friends if you talk this way to right. Dustin Hoffman and Rene Russo?
Yeah, and if you went back to that set, you know the director was just like, be yourself, Kevin.
What I found how scary Donald Sutherland is as that like nutso general that's just like kill the entire town.
He is so, yeah, he can really scare me in a way no one can. I blame Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yes.
He just brings the fear in me in a way that Kiefer doesn't.
You're right. I think Donald Sutherland, his voice is so deep, his eyes are so big and bulgy, and he enunciates really perfectly. And that, to me, is the triad of evil.
I've been meaning to start enunciating. I think it would help. I'm going to start right now.
Okay.
Am I scary? Am I scary to you? Look at how big my eyeballs are, Karen.
Those were some big eyes.
What about Karen?
Yes. Yes. See, that's no good.
Oh, if you people could see this video, I'm horrifying. Karen. Karen. Oh, okay, I'm done.
If you had a little top hat embedded in your hair right now, that would make it the scariest.
I have one somewhere in my apartment. It just pins in there.
Just a little pin.
Tiny
little hat pin.
Oh, my. I'm so excited. My dollhouse arrives in 1 week. I don't know why it's taking so long. I have all these modifications.
Oh, I'll tell you, there's a pandemic. That's
right.
Why.
Everyone is ordering dollhouses. Everyone has dollhouse fever.
This is the thing where when big stuff happens, people panic and they buy dollhouses. It's a way of comforting yourself.
Yep.
Everyone's doing it. The whole dollhouse shelves are empty at the grocery store. It happens. Every pandemic, this happens.
It's like we're confined to our houses and people are like, we have no choice but to go even smaller.
Yeah.
I'm going to confine myself to a miniature home.
That's actually, it does kind of make sense. Like you're in your house and I'm sure most people are just like, oh, I wish this house was bigger. But if you get a dollhouse, there's a little perspective. There's a little gratitude attitude.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Is my place small now as compared to this dollhouse? It'll make me feel better about my own house.
Now I live in a palatial estate compared to this little house. This tiny house for dolls.
How was your Mother's Day? Did you do anything?
Everything was fine. Everything was regular. Yeah. Then it was like, you know, it's whatever. I kind of stayed off social media a little bit. Then at the end of the day, I decided to do a social media post about my mom.
Yep.
But I took the secret behind the scenes fact. I took a picture and it's of my mom and my sister because it's from 1968. Uh-huh. Did you see that? Because she has huge hair. She has like a big old beehive.
No,
it's a little bigger than yours. Yeah. And I basically just was like, I miss my mom. She was the best. Call your mom if you can type of thing. But then the responses to that is what made me sad because there's so many people that are just like us, whose moms have died either recently, they haven't had them for a while.
Yeah.
Lots of people who have moms they miss really bad. And people were telling me little stories and posting pictures. And it was very lovely, but it was just like, you know, that's how that holiday is. It's a little bittersweet.
Yeah.
How was yours?
Last Mother's Day, I just had something to distract me, I guess. But this time, just like you, at like 9 p.m., I'm like, well, I've been holding on to this video of trying to make her laugh towards the end, and I posted that. And then the responses, like you said, is what made me really think about her for days after. But also, people kept sending me this same video because I guess I've talked about how my mom would watch me skateboard secretly in the house, and I'd hear her cheer when I would land something, and I was so embarrassed, and I'd even go in and tell her to stop watching me, which is so silly now, because how cool is that that she would watch? But there's a video of this guy does a trick, and this woman, passerby, loses her mind. She's jumping up and down. She can't believe what she just saw. She drops her bags, and she's clapping, and then the skater comes up the stairs, and she hugs him. She'd never seen anything so excited. Oh. And then everyone sent me that and said, is this how your mom would act?
There's one of a woman who does that, and she's telling him to try again. Is it that one?
Yeah. No, it's just... The guy does the trick, and then this woman is
she
in the
just
background,
goes crazy.
And she just becomes part of the video. She runs down, jumping with joy. it's the best. I've been watching it.
Yeah, I love that people... That's the effect of skateboarding. Did you see that I posted a video? These three skateboarders in Canada, in I think it was Toronto or Montreal. I can't remember. Sorry, Canada. I do that all the time. But
yeah.
Because there's so little traffic on the freeway, these three skateboarders just came to, they were skateboarding down the freeway, took an exit, and somebody filmed them from a high rise.
Yeah,
so it was the cool, did you see it?
Yeah.
It looked so cool.
The headline was like, police are investigating. They were looking for these criminals.
Yes. And then the guy that retweeted it wrote, I've looked into this case and I find it is something like it totally shreds or shreds or was something like that. It's so awesome. But I retweeted it and it was that kind of thing of like, if it was 1998, I would have never retweeted that because I would be a poser. I have nothing to do skateboarding. Like, how dare you? But it's like, it just feels like these days you can kind of like, you're allowed to be a fan of things without having to qualify to be a fan of something.
Yeah. And even maybe more specifically, it seems like it is something that if you're doing it alone, plus they were all 6 feet apart, it's something that is okay to do right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're by yourself. And even golfing, you have to go to a place, go to a parking lot, you have to be around people. So you see someone golfing, it's like too soon. But skateboarding, you really don't have to be around anyone. You can be by yourself.
Yeah.
But I've been doing it, and I have to admit, I don't wear a mask. So someone could come up to me. But I can skate away.
True. You have an escape route. Also, don't you just have a mask like around your neck? Or are you and your buddies, you can't do it because there's a serious masculinity issue?
Oh, no. Everyone has it. It's just in the back pocket. But it is kind of hard to breathe. Like, I've been trying to jog, which I'm terrible at. I forgot how to run and my lungs are the worst. But I have it down like that. Yeah. And then if anyone comes up, I put it on.
Yeah, that's same. I've been taking walks around my neighborhood and I just keep it on my wrist because there's almost no one around.
Yeah.
And then if someone comes, you throw that thing on. But it is hard to breathe and it is such a strange adjustment. Like, I think people expect themselves to just be immediately fine with it, where it's like, no, you're wearing a fucking mask. It's weird. It's totally weird. It's not normal.
Yeah. There's a weird confidence, though, like, the times I've been driving with a mask and someone looks over at me, you as far as they know, you're so beautiful underneath them. My jawline could crack a safe with it. It's so sharp. But really, I'm just hiding behind a mask. I think that's why men have beards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some. Yes.
My mask is my beard. A person that I'm pretending to be in a relationship with.
That you're just justifying things to?
Yes, yes. Oh, isn't that the term? Yeah, if you're pretending you have a beard. I'm pretending my mask is my girlfriend. Never mind, you guys.
Oh, I thought you meant...
I think I used the term wrong. Oh my God, have you seen the Netflix documentary about the Circus of Books? That
no.
used to be on Sunset? It is the
best. I remember
it. I've always driven by it, and I always heard, yeah, that's mainly a porn store. But the story behind it and the family that owned it is amazing. You should very much
watch it.
Oh,
I got to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it just called Circus of Books?
Yes. And it's just this family, normal family, that, and it was a a place for gay men to not only get buy things but hang out. Like, there was a whole social scene that happened there, and I think there was another location maybe in West Hollywood. They kept jumping back and forth to the different locations. I guess there's
there were two
locations, but
or at least two, because I in the 90s we went to the Circus of Books. You know, Margaret Cho was always like, we've got to go in there. Her parents owned a porn store in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
So that's like, yeah, that's her.
Wow.
That's her background. But she would go and get, you know, like those big, like amazing photography books that were kind of like Mapplethorpe-y, but other photographers or whatever. And I remember just standing in there with her, kind of like everything I would turn and be like, oh yeah, totally. And then like open a book, and then I would just, you know, shut it and turn away because I was just like, this isn't, I don't think this is for me. A lot of this stuff is not for me.
Yeah. You feel like a poser there too. It's like, I shouldn't.
It's tough.
Yeah. This is your place to hang out. Why am I here being a poser?
And, you know, when I was like in my 20s in San Francisco, almost all my friends were gay men. So I would go to like gay bars with them. And sometimes there'd be guys that would just like be giving me really dirty looks, like, well, I was in the clubhouse and I shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Which was a tiny bit heartbreaking to me. But it is that thing where it's like you've been a marginalized person all your life. And now you've got your like clubhouse. You don't want some fucking
straight,
you know. some gal with too much lip liner on just standing around staring at you.
I've been meaning to address that with you. You wore way too much lip liner back then.
Blot that lip liner. It's too late.
Sorry.
I can't do anything about it. These are mistakes of the past.
You can't go back in time. Yeah, I love that movie. It talks to all these adult actors, and it is the coolest. Watch it if you haven't.
I'm definitely going to watch it. I can't wait. Because I watched one the other day, and it's like, it's new on Netflix. And it was because I keep waking up at 4 in the morning. Steven, that's when the other night I gave you notes on our episode, and I made a whole thing, and I was up at 4 a.m. and these notes about different things I said, I was just like, can you just snip this? And I wrote like 4 notes. They came to me almost like a dream. It was insane. So I like got up and wrote those down, because I was like, I will definitely forget these if I don't write them down. And then I was just completely awake.
You process them in your sleep, you know?
Yes, exactly. It was like my sleeping, once my mind could rest, it was like, and now this is what you said wrong. Take it out. But but then I got it because I was like, now I'm up. I'm going to eat some cereal.
Yep.
Because I have any excuse to eat cereal.
Everyone.
And day or night.
Oh, that's so funny. I've been waking up at 4 and eating cereal too. I don't know why. And experiencing that clarity, like having ideas in that moment in a way you don't have it when you wake up at 9 or
yes.
10 or 11 or noon,
well,
or whatever
my therapist told me 4 a.m. is a very creative time for the brain. And if you wake up, don't just immediately go, oh, I have insomnia, it's bad. Don't decide it's bad.
Yeah.
Just wake up and listen to what your brain's trying to tell you, and like definitely keep a notebook or something and write stuff down.
Yep. I've been doing that too. And I've also been waking up at 6 when I go skateboarding with these guys with our masks in our back pockets. We meet at 7 a.m. So I usually don't wake up at 6 for anything. And so now a few times a week. So it's my whole sleep cycle. I've just given myself permission to nap whenever. I slept all day the other day, and I was awake all night and finished my poster for my special that I want to show you guys. But
I
was like thinking more clearly in the middle of the night, and it came easier to design that than it was during the day. During the day, I wanted to put it off it's oddly a time to focus. We should be able to sleep whenever we want.
We can. Ben Franklin, apparently, that was his whole system. He would get up at 4 a.m. and do a bunch of work. And like that, there's a whole belief system, and it's like the circadian rhythms or something. And maybe I'm just naming things, whatever, but it's something about that where like your brain is to have has a whole different like schedule, that if you follow it and just let it be creative when it feels like being creative. But my point was, when I got up, ate my cereal, turned on Netflix, and there was this new thing on, and it was basically it was like a documentary about hallucinogenics or hallucinogens.
Sting is so great in that.
Right? Isn't it good?
I
was like, normally I'd be like, who cares?
Yeah. You can say anything.
You just go through
those. I love Sting. I love Sting.
He's so cool. Those stories were insane that he was
telling. His peyote stories. He made me want to do paella. Oh, paella.
Don't, you'll go crazy on paella.
I made some paella because it stings peyote stories. It was, I loved that special.
It's good.
Yeah.
And also those, it was really entertaining because I heard Ben Stiller tell that story about taking too much acid and then calling his dad, which is it's such a funny story. And his, calling Jerry Stiller when you're on acid, RIP Jerry Stiller, we'll all miss you. You were a legend.
Yeah, he had just passed when I watched that. And so it was so sweet, that story, that him telling him it's going to be okay.
It's going to be, it's, everything's going to be okay.
He thought he was going to be in trouble, but. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said it was like when I smoked a Pall Mall and threw up. And Ben Stiller was like, it's not like that, Dad. It's such a good story.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved watching that. I loved all the reenactments and the animation. It was really cool.
Oh, also the day that Jerry Stiller died, someone posted some outtakes from Seinfeld and that there was a scene between Elaine and Jerry Stiller.
Are you saying you want a piece of me?
Yes. And the way she laughs, she's trying so hard. She's such a pro. And her laugh is funny in and of itself, like that. But she can't fucking keep it together. It's I love outtakes anyway.
Yeah.
Go watch that. If you're feeling low, go watch some fucking Jerry Stiller outtakes. You'll love it.
Oh, I mean, and while that was happening, Jason Alexander was he was crawling on the floor. He couldn't even control his ability to sit. It is the funnest.
The extra that was sitting next to Jason Alexander is just trying to not get in trouble herself. Because you know, when stuff like that,
she's
going to
get fired because it's happening on her scene.
Because if she starts laughing, the stars can do whatever they want. But those extras, if you get in on it like you are with them too, you will get fired immediately. They'll just pull you.
And guess what? No one ever saw her again.
she was actually killed that night.
That was
by
her
Larry
chance.
David.
Yep.
Yep.
By Jason
He's
Alexander.
Like, I saw you.
A lot of people don't know. He's played murderers very well. Think about it.
Yes.
Speaking of murderers.
He's the bad guy in Pretty Woman.
I hadn't seen it since I was 12 or 13, but I watched Misery the other day, and it's a perfect movie.
I haven't seen it in so long.
It holds up in a way that I really didn't expect it to.
Hold on. I need to start making a list. Chris, you have Rex.
I loved it. There is only one. I do have some issues. I mean, everyone's seen it, so I'm not spoiling anything. But he crashes his car in the beginning, right? And then is randomly found by Kathy Bates, who happens to be this stalker of his. She doesn't throw tacks in the road or somehow set up a situation. He just randomly finds his biggest fan, who happens to be a psychopath, out in the middle of the woods. The chances of that happening are, it's impossible.
It is impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were questioning that plot
line. Just feel like in the it's a perfect movie, by the way, and I'm sure the book is great. I don't read. But if I kind of wanted her to somehow be responsible for his car wreck, that's all. Like a spike strip, like the cops use or something.
You know, you should look into what Stephen King wrote in the book, because sometimes.
You're right.
They pull things out or they don't, they cut scenes or whatever.
Right.
Maybe she was responsible.
Yeah, it seems like something Stephen King wouldn't overlook, you know, since I know him so well personally.
Steve, he'd never overlook that.
Steve is a man of details.
Do you know that? Okay, wait, I have two stories for you. Hold on, let me write down so I don't forget the second one. First of all, the first one's fast. Stephen King wrote Kojo in an alcoholic blackout, which is one of my favorite factoids of all time. Did you know that?
He came out of it and he's like, what's this? Oh, it's great.
Yeah, he does not remember writing Kojo at all.
Oh my God.
He doesn't
remember.
This is a B point to that story, not the second story. Parts of Kojo were filmed in Petaluma.
Oh, really?
Along Bodega Avenue, when they're driving to the mechanic's house, they drive. Basically, it was the way home from school for us. So when I saw that movie, I was like, oh my God. It was like I saw a celebrity, but it was the street we used to drive down constantly. So I love that movie and that story. It's very close to my heart.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. There was something else I watched recently that took place in Petaluma. Quick, list all the movies.
Well, Peggy Sue Got Married, American Graffiti, The one, Goonies.
Goonies.
A shit ton of them. Wait, is it Goonies or, no, what's the Goonies. One where they all build a spaceship and fly away?
Oh, Explorers.
Explorers.
With a
That was the hill
River
by
Phoenix.
My dad's house. Yes.
Yeah.
And Ethan Hawke, I believe. Baby yeah. Ethan Hawke's in that.
Yeah, they
it?
Were both little chubby boys. And that movie sticks out, whoever the girl, he liked this girl, and that's when they first made the, I mean, that movie takes a dive once they go to outer space and there's aliens. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when he was like floating or at her window, whoever this child actress was that was my age when I watched this movie, I would have dreams about whoever that was. I don't even know who she was, but as a little kid, I had such a crush on the
Did
girl.
Did she have red hair? Was it Carrie Green, the girl that was in Lucas?
It may have been her, or it may have been the Peterson girl, the girl from
Can't Buy Me Love?
Can't Amanda Buy Me Love.
Peterson?
Amanda Peterson.
Amanda Peterson, yeah. And she has a sad story. She, like, died. She became a drug person, and her mugshots are hard to look at. Because I had such a crush on her, too, and no one was supportive and nice to her after that. It makes me feel bad.
Well, that's a classic, you know, she was like, couldn't have been more, almost like as I was growing up and you were growing up, like she was like the popular girl because she was like a teen girl in movies that was the girl everyone liked. So in Patrick Dempsey in Can't Buy Me Love, he's doing everything in the world to get around this girl.
He's mowing lawns just to be near her.
He's such a tragic nerd. And then at the same time, he buys her whatever. Yeah, she was so charming too. She was such a like a lovely, she wasn't like the popular girl that's like hot. She was like a believable, pretty, nice girl.
Yeah.
You know, no, she was Amanda, what was her last
Peterson.
Name? Sorry? Amanda Peterson? Peterson?
Yeah. See, yeah, I've already stopped
diction.
Enunciating. Peterson.
Okay, but sorry. Who's the, what's the guy's name? This is my second story. What's the guy's name that was in Misery? Shit,
James
Caan. Can't Buy Me Love. Yes, James Caan. Okay. Yes. Chris's, your recommendation list so far, Misery, Can't
so
Buy
good.
Me Love,
yes.
Circus of Books.
Yes. All very worth, I stand behind those. Maybe not Can't Buy Me Love. It's just, if you want to watch just to make sure that you would have a crush on that girl as a young boy, then watch. But I do remember
also,
Patrick Dempsey had a shirt while he is mowing lawns. His t-shirt was that you are here and there's an arrow pointing in the universe.
Yes.
Or pointing to our universe in the Milky Way. Or
right.
Vice versa. Sorry. I don't know much about space except I like monkeys. But there is a comic, J.R. Brow, that years ago patented that design, the you are here t-shirt design, and at a time where people weren't just ripping off designs. It was copyrighted, and people are like, darn, I wish I thought of it, because it was the late 80s or whatever. And he made a lot of money off that You Are Here space shirt.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. He's a friend of mine. Just he's still in Austin making very funny videos lately.
Also, well, that the Can't Buy Me Love reminded me, if you've never seen the movie Angus, which is basically the 90s version of Can't Buy Me Love, but a different situation. It's such a good movie.
Not Angus, Lucas.
No. Lucas is an 80s movie.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All the greats, the Coreys, Winona Ryder,
yeah,
Charlie
yeah.
Sheen, Cary Grant.
You're right,
that was
also Cary Grant, yeah.
It was Cary Grant because
yeah, yeah.
she was basically a different version of Amanda Peters. She was like kind of a redhead, maybe a tiny
bit
older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was one of Winona Ryder's first movies, and Winona Ryder is from Petaluma.
Oh, wow.
So we watched her, you know, I personally tracked her career. I was just like, look at her, she's in a real movie, you know, and then
Did you know her?
No, she went to a public school, but everyone knew of her because she left when she was like maybe 15 and she hated our town and she hated her school.
Oh,
so
okay.
Like she did not have a good time.
She was such a goth. She was the girl from Beetlejuice.
She was she really was.
Yeah. When I would audition for things in Austin, Renee Zellweger. How do you say her name? Anyway,
you got it. Renee
was
Zellweger.
The hometown hero of all the casting places. Her picture would be up.
It's It's fun to be able to like cheer for your person because yeah. they're like, that means like maybe something could happen to me.
Dana Carvey went to my high school for a year. That means I have hope.
Look at Chris. He's really found his light. Listeners, Chris turned toward a lamp as he said that, and he looked like Judy Garland in A Star Is Born.
I've been doing enough quarantine comedy shows that I have a whole light setup and a tripod in my bedroom. So I've really learned how to find the light.
It meant the world to me.
Wow, you did it too.
Yeah, because the sun's right fucking there.
Again, you look great. Was that sun? Wow.
Yes. It meant the world to me. Oh, it hurts my eyes.
Yes, but you know it's going to look
it's worth it.
Let it burn.
It's worth it. But anyway, if you haven't seen the movie Angus, it's from the mid-90s. It's so great. It's like the pain of high school. It's so good. And it's like, it's not the typical teen movie. It's like really good.
I'm writing down Angus.
Angus. It's great. Okay, but here's, are you ready for my story about James Caan? So, I worked on Ellen and that we would do bits. We would force these celebrities. They would get booked just to be doing promos for their TV shows and their movies. And then we would force them to do comedy bits.
Of course.
So James Caan was on, what was that show? Was it called Las Vegas? Do you remember?
Yeah,
He was on a show called Las Vegas. So he was there. And then the comedy bit we were doing, because it was like Oscar season, so we were making people do improvisational Oscar acceptance speeches. It was very... but all you had to do was read the teleprompter.
Right.
So, and I think I can't remember. But anyway, I was the one that had to go out and brief James Caan. And I, now that I think about it, I think the producer, because normally the celebrity producer would take care of all of that. And we would just do the comedy bits and give them to the producers. But I think the comedy producer is like, don't make me explain it to him. Like, you have to go do it.
Yeah.
And I went out and was like, Mr. Caan, we're just doing this. It's an Oscar acceptance bit, and you just look straight into this thing. And I'm like explaining it. I'm like halfway through explaining it, which I, in retrospect, didn't need to explain almost anything. This man's been in show business for 40 years already.
Yeah. They're going to play music. You're going to be wearing a tux. They'll hand you a statue.
It'll be gold. There'll be a lighting cue. Just wait for the... Like, I don't have to tell James Caan how to do a two-minute bit on a talk show. And so, and meanwhile, the audience is dancing. The music is playing. It's very, very loud. And so he and I are the only ones that can hear this conversation. And midway through my sentence, he turns and goes, let's hurry the fuck up! Like, screamed it. And I just turned and I just turned and walked away
because
it was fucking hilarious. Yes.
Was he fully angry or was he kind of kidding?
I don't know. Yes. I mean, I'm sure he was just frustrated and it was really loud and he just wanted to leave. Like he didn't want to do, I'm sure he had already done two segments of interview. Then we make him stay for a third segment. To, you know, and do a dumb comedy bit that like he probably said no to and they tricked him into doing it anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not fun for those people. It was so hilarious. And I was kind of shaken after. And then I was like, oh, wait, that kind of is the best thing of all time.
Yeah, no,
let's hurry the fuck up.
But in real life, much like his son, Scotty, he's a tiny person, right? I just know Kathy Bates was like towering over him in Misery.
I think he didn't seem tiny to me.
Maybe it's because he was in bed most of the movie.
Yeah. I think you were thinking that him laying down was his height. And that's not
it.
That's not true.
He's a disembodied shoulders and head, right? They CGI a body.
No. He can stand. You should see his other films. He's got a ton of them.
He has a body. Yeah.
He has a body, a torso, long legs.
James Caan has a body, everybody.
Yes, Chris is saying it right into the light. James Caan's body. It's like another person's body.
Wow, this got brighter. The sun is going down as we podcast. Movie that I've talked about all too much where the scorpion was in my pants, Scott Caan was also in that.
Was he?
Yeah, he was one of the...
Wait, was this the film Outlaws?
American Outlaws, yes.
American Outlaws. I've seen it probably 10 times.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, that thing's always on... It used to always be on cable.
It's funny. Yeah, it's like the poor man's Young Guns.
Yes, but, or the dumb man's Tombstone.
I think everyone involved, including the director who made Flubber, would agree.
No one would deny.
Gotti Khan
really quick,
is,
can we put that? Like, can we really quick put Tombstone on your recommendation list? Because Tombstone, if you haven't seen it with Val Kilmer, I'm Your Huckleberry, is one of the best movies ever.
Yes, yes, it is. It
okay,
is
we're
great.
Putting that down too. Tombstone. Yeah,
it is the best. God, Val Kilmer at his peak was a man that I was enamored of. I wanted
he is
to be
amazing.
Him. Yeah,
yes.
That combined with real genius, he could do everything.
He could.
He could even kick cancer.
Did you see that or read that article in the New York Times about him?
No.
Oh, you got it. I'll send it to you. It's amazing. It's kind of about his whole career and his life and the different things he's tried to do and stuff. But like, he was an actor from Juilliard. He's one of the most talented actors, you know, Hollywood's ever seen. But because he was method and he was, you know, like he made it difficult for people because he was like, when he was Jim Morrison, he was Jim Morrison the whole time.
Right.
You know,
right. Oh, that like, thing where
that kind of shit.
When the cameras
like,
are off, you're making everyone uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. But then in this article, it was cool because the woman who wrote it, I believe it was a woman, she's kind of going over each role. And then you realize, like, oh, yeah, he's unbelievably good. Like, she's talking about his character in Top Gun made that movie.
Yeah.
It, like, because he grounded it and it was so real, but he was doing all this stuff, but he wasn't saying anything. And, like, how, you know, what a great presence he is.
Yeah, yeah. Even, and, like, all the different films he did, Willow is good. That, the first, Top Secret is, like, the brothers that made Naked Gun. Who are they again?
Yep.
I forget their names.
There's a Z in there. There's a Y.
Yeah,
the ones that made Airplane.
Yeah, the Zellner, the Sudeikis, Jason Sudeikis,
Zucker Brothers.
The Zucker Brother. God damn it! Wait, sorry. Real Genius and
Real Genius
and
so good.
Top Secret are going on your recommendation.
Real
list.
Genius is going on my I wanted to be him. He's cool. He's funny. And then he's also smart in school, which is something I never was but wanted to be. It's the best. It's the
so
best.
Good.
I love
so
that
good.
Movie. There's so many throwaway lines that are great, funny lines, and it still holds up.
Wait, were you trying to tell an American Outlaw story?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. I interrupted you.
No, I went... Scotty Khan, James Khan's son, is... into skateboarding, I guess he was a skateboarder. And I was at some event on the Fox lot where that fake street that they have of all the building facades, they had a skate contest, like a street contest there. And I was there just watching because I used to work there. And he was just watching skateboarding and I went up to him because I knew this and I know no one knows this about that movie, but I went, "Hi, I was an extra in American Outlaws. Did you know a horse died?" and it still says at the end of the movie, no animals were harmed in this. And he looked at me like his father. He looked at me like I was accusing him of a horse murder. He's like, "What?" I'm like, "Oh, you were in American Outlaws, right?" He's like, "Yeah." One day a horse died and I saw it happen and it wasn't. And he's like, "All right." And he just like walked away. I've never felt stupider in my life. But much like you, I feel like I'm on his side in retrospect. Yeah.
I mean,
it was weird of me to go up and say dead horse to his face.
It was. What did you want him to do?
He's like, I wanted him to go, "That's really interesting. My name's Scotty. Do you want to hang out sometime?" Mm-mm. Is that so much to ask?
Yes, too much.
Yeah.
Much too much.
I just wanted him to say, "Oh, weird. Yeah, I heard about a dead horse. What an interesting thing. I'm glad you came up and brought that up." That's all
I wanted. I'm glad you reminded me of one of my favorite times and one of my saddest times. You seem like a deep skateboarder to me. What's your name?
Yeah.
Is that your real hair?
Yeah. All these are all things I would have loved to have. Keep going, Karen. I'm imagining Scotty Khan.
Okay, now I'm Scotty Khan. Hurry the fuck up! But he says that constantly.
That's
he inherited
more,
that.
That's more what happened, yes.
He used to do plays near my old house in Toluca Lake at the...
Scotty or James?
Scotty. I think he either wrote a play or he was in a play. So I saw him like walking to his car a couple times. And I remember like just kind of spotting him and driving, not caring at all and not looking, and then going, you, like, your lifelong dream as a child was to work and live in Los Angeles and in Hollywood and be in show business. And now you are, and now you have these things around you, and you're so jaded and you're so over it. Like, even Scott Kahn's not good enough for you now. What has happened to you?
I know. I think I was just too excited and I seemed weird.
No, I wasn't yelling at you. I was saying that about myself.
Oh, I was saying
that I was that way.
Oh, okay.
I'm not lecturing you. I think it was very natural of you to, that was your one in. What else would you do?
Yeah. And to be clear, I was standing watching something and looked over and he was inches from me and no one was around him. And it seemed like it was okay to start a conversation, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
I like to imagine it that your eyes were big and wide and crazy, like when you were doing an impression of Donald Sutherland earlier.
Yeah.
And that's what made him go.
I used to live in Austin, Texas, where that movie was filmed. You know the one, the cowboy one.
And then he's like, wow, you have amazing diction. What's your name?
I'm Chris. Obviously, I'm not from Texas, as you can tell by my diction. Weird.
My perfect standardized American accent.
Clarice. Yeah.
You just keep calling him Clarice. Hey, what's up, Clarice?
Hello, Clarice. You can hear the horses crying, can you, Clarice? Just three security guard men grabbing me.
Scott Kahn starts crying because you called him a girl's name. God damn it. You're not allowed to.
I find out how fragile he was.
He's a playwright and a sensitive soul.
Oh, Scotty.
Scotty. Connie.
Scotty, Connie. Oh.
I'm also picturing it's really funny to just start anytime you see friends or family, you just say, hello, Clarice.
Hello, Clarice.
Oh,
why
so stupid.
Is, and are you offended by it? Everyone, I'm being honest, I don't know what it means, but it's the new boomer or something where people say, yeah, okay, simmer down, Karen. Karen is now the go-to name for what? Please explain.
For racist white women, or for basically kind of for like Republican white women who act like the world is supposed to be always operating in their benefit at all times. It's like it started with those women who would call the police on black children who were like selling water on the sidewalk, or you know, people, those women that kept getting caught on video calling the police because a black family was at a pool, or right. because there were teenagers standing in a park or whatever. And it was like those videos kept hitting more and more, and then someone started calling those women Karens.
You gotta change your name. You don't want that reputation.
No, I love it all. I love negative attention. I love positive attention. But I think it's really funny because it is, my name is very much like on the way out anyway. It's a very like you were born in the 70s kind of name.
Oh, God. You know what I mean? And Chris. How many friends did you have named Karen where it's like Karen number two, or people called you Kel Gareth, or?
There was like a couple Karens in my school, but then it kind of like faded. I don't meet that many anymore.
I would be in a group of six friends, and chances are half of us would be named Chris. Maybe it's a Northwest trend, but mid-70s.
No, Chris was very common. Chris was super common.
I had so many Chris friends.
Yeah. And, Chris and Jennifer was the name that everyone had when I was growing up as a girl name.
Yeah, Jennifer is way up there. Yeah, Jennifer but is someone the Karen said, of Chris's. What? I always wanted a nickname. I always experimented. You know, I made my parents call me Scott for about a month until I was tired of it. CJ, my name is Christopher James. I always wanted to be a nickname. CJ is perfect. CJ Fairbanks. It rolls off the tongue. And I never, even though I was surrounded by other Chris's, no one would call me CJ.
It's because any, how old were you when you came up with this plan?
My parents to call me Scott. I was in kindergarten, so four or five.
No, not Scott, but the CJ plan.
Well, that's the other thing. My friend Carl, everyone called him CJ. So then there would have been two CJs. So I guess I guess I have Carl to blame.
But how old were you, I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, high school. I wanted to be CJ.
Especially, I think, in that that's the prime age where if somebody comes forward with kind of a vulnerable, like, I've got an idea about how I can really stand out and shine.
Oh, yeah.
It's your friend's job to crush you in that scenario. Right. At least in the time I was growing up. Because it's like, oh, I've picked a new name. Everybody do what I say. It's like, not only will we not do what you say, but you'll regret ever exposing a hope or dream to us.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't give yourself the name. It's
no,
unfair.
You can't. You can't act like you can control what other people see you as or how they are going to do anything towards you. You just can't. That's
maybe
a very childish,
maybe it's
childlike.
Out of respect that people just called me Chris.
Maybe
that's
it.
In retrospect, I'm going to call you what your parents called you because you know what? You're a stand-up guy.
Because your father's a good man and your mother is a strong and dedicated person.
And my friend Chris Lamb, everyone called him Slammer, or they called him Swanee. I don't want to tell you why they called him Swanee. It's because he had a big penis, and they saw it in gym class, and Ian Lovely said it looked like a swan's neck. It was so big. So they called him Swanee. What if you had a nickname that also was an advertisement? That's all I wanted.
That's a great... Sorry, it's way better than CJ.
I know.
That's
why
an amazing
was no
nickname.
No one calling me Big Dick CJ?
CJ Dickerson.
Anything.
Everybody.
Anything with dick in it. I'd say called Christopher Richardson. I'd take anything. Any version of dick. No.
Swanee is an amazing, separate from the amazing compliment, and congratulations to Swanee. Isn't that nice for him?
But ever appreciated it to this day.
He didn't like it?
No.
Too self-conscious?
I don't want people to know I have this giant hanger.
What's the problem?
I don't
make problems where there aren't problems, Swanee.
Exactly.
You got it made in the shade.
Swanee. Come on, Swan man.
Come on. But that name, separate from the reason, is a great nickname. Swanee.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
They had nicknames in my high school because there was my high school was all bullies. That was like almost required. Everyone had to bully everybody. And the boys, especially, they would make up nicknames. And you're like, I don't want to know why you're calling him that. Every single person had a nickname. Like they called people. There was one guy they called Juice. And like I only ever heard his name as Juice. And then years later, my sister said she was somewhere and they're like, yeah, you know, Mark, because they're all like, at that point, 35 or 40. And she's like, I don't know who you're talking about. And then finally someone else is like, Laura, it's Juice. And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, Juice. I know Juice. Like it was like that, like insane. You would get your nickname, you know, the fourth month of freshman year. And that's all you were called for the rest of school.
Yeah. I think you had to play football or something. There was a kid, Ryan Salisbury, in my school. They called him Sauce. And I thought Sauce would catch it, Sauce. I'm like, wow, why is no one calling me Sauce? Because I'm not catching any balls.
Yep. You can't just pick other people's nicknames.
I swear, I tried to get him started. I'm like, hey, when we go by this group of people in the hallway, do you mind just calling me CJ? And no one would do it. I'm like, damn it.
They were like, we got to kick this guy out of our group of friends.
I guess I'm another
so nerdy.
Just another Chris.
Could you call me CJ for just a little while? Everyone's like, well, since you're asking, no. The answer is a firm no.
Maybe
could
one
you,
day I'll get
could
a
you
nickname.
Call me Swanee too? No. No.
Swanee no. 2. Swanee part 2. Please.
Could you call me Swanee 2 Electric Boogaloo? It'll take a long time, but it'll be so worth it in terms of social status.
Can you call
status.
Me Swanee 2 : Revenge of the Goose? Call me Goose Man. Please call
can
me
you
Goose Man. I'll show it to you. I'll show it to you in gym class if you just call me Goose. Oh, Goose. Which brings us right back to Val Kilmer.
Well, sorry, we have to put break into Electric Boogaloo on your list.
That's
number.
We watched it over and over our senior year. Everyone does some performance in the auditorium for the entire school. And yes. Ross, the guy that I went to look at the dump truck for, and Andy and I, we put together a breakdance performance along to C is for Cookie by Cookie Monster.
Oh.
And we actually, Ross learned, he was like doing, he did like a gymnastics move, and mostly we were spinning, but I learned the diving worm. Like, we practiced, we rehearsed, we put more effort Good. Into this performance than anything. And then okay. when we did it for the whole school at the end, and I guess this is why we chose C is for Cookie. At the end, we threw cookies into the audience, but they were backlit because the lights were all on stage and the auditorium was dark. So we were just pelting children. I think our principal got a cookie like in the forehead. We were hitting, we got in trouble. We won the competition, by the way, but then we had to stay after school and clean all these cookies.
Wait, so they were just loose cookies? They weren't like, it wasn't like, here's a little bag of cookies?
We cracked open a sleeve and tossed them like frisbees. We were belting them. We should have done more of a rainbow throw. We were throwing them like yeah. throwing stars. We just got, we were nervous.
You were excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of energy. A lot of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why didn't
that
after that
bug?
After... After that performance, you didn't go, could you call me the worm? Did you see me do the worm? I'm going to be the worm.
Please. What if I show you my penis? Well, then you call me the worm? Oh, no, that backfired. Worms are small.
Wait, don't. No, no.
Please stop calling me the worm. I know I asked. I know I asked you to.
I swear this is the last nickname request I'm going to submit. Your friends are just like, please stop talking to us.
No, we're not going to call you Captain Big Worm. Captain? How about Captain? Take off that hat. No.
You're not a captain. Please. This is stolen valor. When I was a junior, me and Michelle Knowles and Christina Davis did a dance to the song Our Love is Chemical, which was in the movie 9 1/2 Weeks. We made it up. It was for the talent show. And it was such a hit. And I don't know why. It was just really good. I think we just did really good moves and it was kind of cool and the song was cool. And it was like this like hurrah kind of thing at the end. It was so exciting. And then my sister goes, Dad's mad. He thought that dance was dirty.
It's ruined everything.
It was like too, because we were doing, you know, kind of, it was, you know, 1987, I think. So it was gyrations and stuff that. He did not approve.
Oh,
he did not
wow.
like it at all.
Yeah. I haven't stopped to think if my parents were in the audience. Now I'm embarrassed.
Were your parents
dancing.
In the audience?
That's not how we taught you. What's that?
Was there a beat under C is for Cookie, or were you being like funny?
We were trying really hard to be funny. Yeah.
Yeah. But you'd won.
We
so
won.
So in a way, you were right.
They, I think they were like, wait a minute. They actually all learned to break dance. I still pull out those moves to this day.
Oh, Chris, I stole your bit on, we did a mini-sode. We recorded a mini-sode for My Favorite Murder. And Stephen, what was the word? It was, Georgia said something and then it reminded, oh, it was something about pot, remember? And then it was
legalize it.
Legalize.
I started doing the Zion bit and then I'm like, oh shit, I'm stealing. This is a bit from Chris Fairbanks from Do You Need a Ride?
Oh,
like,
that's funny.
I had to give you credit.
And my special, I mean, I almost called my comedy special Mount Zion, but I thought it would be triggering for people. It was, but yeah, legalize it. God, I should have known that.
It.
I wished that we had this conversation a year ago.
I know.
But in conclusion, I mean, we're doing, I am. That,
yeah, we're done.
That special will be on Amazon in about a week and a half.
Is that true, Chris?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's the name? What name did you land on?
Well, I know that you had maybe didn't think it was the best, but it is a, once you see the opening and the packaging of it, it'll be, it's just a non sequitur. It's called Rescue Cactus.
Rescue Cactus.
Yes. It's just
okay,
a silly
great.
Name. Yeah. I thought about, okay. it was going to be called Bad Timing. And then I thought that was maybe
too negative.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, wait, I have timing is all I have. Bad writing, but I'm not going to call it that. So it's called Rescue Cactus.
Writing.
And it looks good on the poster. And
great.
It makes sense after you watch the special. Most names of specials, you have to watch it. And then you're like, oh, that's why it was called that.
Well, and as long as we get the name out to our listeners, who will then tell five loved ones or friends the same name, and then everyone will watch it.
Yeah.
And we'll make it.
Yeah, I'll announce officially once we're done. But it is finished. The edit was finished today. And the color correction and the subtitles and all that fun stuff.
Yay. I can't wait. You have to definitely please text Steven that information about like where it's premiering and the name and everything so that we remember to say it on My Favorite Murder.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Many more people hear it too.
Thank you, Karen. And I mean of that course. Not in a racist lady way. Oh, you're such a Karen. I mean, my friend.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen. Your name. We were talking about the names of specials. We were talking about Cactus. We were talking about Bad Timing. We were talking about Legalize.
Legalize it.
Legalize. No,
whatever it wasn't worth it.
LegalZoom.com.
LegalZoom.com. All right. Are we done? There's 9 movie recommendations. I don't know what more people want from you.
Yeah. Get to watching Misery.
Misery is number one.
Yes.
Oh, I put the movie Magic as number two, even though I didn't say it out loud, and I don't know why. But I want to remind myself to watch the movie Magic because it's about a demon ventriloquist dummy. And Anthony Hopkins is the star.
You're kidding. I'm watching that
Have you never seen it?
Hang up.
It's good. It's from the 70s. It's creepy. It's like all the things you need as a creepy movie.
Did you say Hopkins or Hopper, Anthony Hopkins?
Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, Hopkins and Hopper. Did they ever do anything together?
Hello, Clarice.
Oh, hello, Clarice.
That's what made me put it on there. That's what made me think of it.
Ventriloquisms.
I'm pretty sure it's Anthony Hopkins. Almost positive. Yeah, because the doll looks like him. Very disturbing. Yeah, right? It's totally sundown.
Sometimes you get it to see. Is that what you were saying?
Another great. Let's put that on. Gord's Gold is number 10 on the recommendation list.
You guys have a busy, busy weekend.
We go totally off the movie list and into 70s.
To plug with you, Karen?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
oh, that's what I was going to say is because you and I talked about your the name of your special, which again is Rescue Cactus. But for a little while, I was arguing for Bad Timing. But I was going to say, don't listen to me because I don't think I told you the story last time. But when they were naming Mr. Show, it was one night we were at a live show we were all doing together, and David was going around and taking a poll of all of his friends and saying, what do you think we should name this show? Should we name it Mr. Show or Grand National Championships? And I was like, it has to be Grand National Championships. Obviously, that's the way better name. It's such a good name. And he's like, okay. And then of course they didn't. Yeah. And clearly Mr. Show is a way better name. But like, I was so sure. I was positive it needed to be Grand National Championships.
Yeah, I was going to, it's just clunk. If it's a lot of words, I wanted it to be at least one word, if not two. And I, for a while, it was going to be emotional support comedian because I thought, oh, people will click on that because those are trending words or what, you know, it's, you can think about it forever. And need I mention, we did a sketch show in Austin called the Hyper Jackson Chamber, which we thought was amazing. And then after a while, I'm like, oh, so many words, you know?
Yeah.
Mr. Show is like elbow. It's a linguist would suggest it.
It's simple, clean, small, compact, travel size.
There's no sharp consonants, Clarice. There's
cellar
only...
Cellar door.
It's one
It's the cellar
fluid.
Door
It's
of
a vowel
titles.
With peaks and valleys.
And also, no one really gives a shit about the title. You're right. It's
totally.
Like they need to know how to find you. Half the time, they'll be searching by your name anyway. But
right.
Rescue Cactus. Just everybody remember Amazon Rescue Cactus.
Thank you, Karen.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And you're welcome.
Wait, should we ask people to put in questions for future Diner episodes?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, let's do that next time. Those are fun.
So. And our logic here is we found out that our numbers go way up when you guys get to ask us questions that we answer, which we should also think of other ways people can participate that way so that they feel engaged and it's not just us remembering things and telling them to each other.
Listing movies for them to watch later.
Yes, exactly. So, if you have questions or, you know, and it's not, you know, we've done lots of Q&A. You can ask us anything you want or talk or bring up anything you want and have us talk about it or whatever. It doesn't have to be like a probing. What was it like when you were 11? It can just truly be like, what's your favorite type of couch? Yeah. And I will tell you, a fucking leather sectional.
And 1,000%. I'll say
fainting. And see, do you see why the numbers skyrocket with this kind of back and forth podcasting?
that interactions like that will take us to the top of the charts. Look out, Rogan.
Hey, guess what, CJ? You and me are going to the top of the charts. Karen and CJ making it great. Please so write in your questions.
Call me Gooseneck.
Do we write them in? Steven, everyone knows how to do it at this point, right?
Yeah, I think we'll have Jay make a social post and you can just comment on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yeah. Awesome. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Great. Sorry, Chris.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? My name is CJ Swanee Fairbanks. D-Y-N.
D-Y-N.
A-R.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us time and terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.